Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast where we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at NoClutchNate.
And my name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And today we're talking about minute number 199 of Zack Snyder's Justice League, part 6, Something Darker. The minute's going to start out with Aquaman trying to get Steppenwolf's attention. And the minute's going to end with Wonder Woman and Steppenwolf running towards each other.
It's about to fight.
Yeah.
It's a shit-talking minute we have here.
It's about to go down.
Yeah. This is a little preamble before we start this big fight with the boss here. Aquaman. I always call him Jason Momoa instead of calling him Arthur Curry, but like you said, Nate, it is Jason Momoa as Aquaman. And it's very much got that Jason Momoa like personality in there as he kind of teases Aquaman or Steppenwolf a little bit. But Steppenwolf looking like a final boss here. I know we've seen Steppenwolf. He doesn't look too different, but really with the glowing eyes and with the suit of armor kind of, you know, really on the spiky end here. Yeah. He does look like a final form type of Steppenwolf that we have here, which is great for a villain that's been through the entire movie. It's like, how do you make this final act, just as hype as possible? And you make the final villain like just, you know, this is the final boss here. This is what it is. This is what you want to get into. This is how you want people to fight Steppenwolf once and for all. And so his spikes have spikes on them, you know? It's like he's spiked up.
Yeah. And you know, it's really just he just gets glowing eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all it is. And you know, I gotta say, it works for a final form. You know?
Yeah.
But I can see the argument of people just saying, well, he's the same. He just gets, his eyes are just glowing.
But he like, hasn't been defeated yet.
No, he hasn't been defeated yet. And does he use this new power at all? I don't know. I don't think so. And I don't even know if it's actual power rather than just like enlightenment.
Yeah, that's a good call out, Nate. You know, I don't know that. Do we see
him using like blue moves because his eyes are now blue? Do we see that kind of thing? I don't think so. So it's really at the end of the day, like, well, what is that? He just, you know, he looked into the horizon and that's what happened. His eyes got burned and blind, but you know, it was burned and blind by all of the answers in the universe. So it's like that kind of final form. Not so much as like a Frieza final form where he's like, oh, this is like the strongest being in the universe right now.
Yeah, you're right. That the eyes do a lot, even if they don't actually do a lot in the battle. Like, it's the same. Like, they're fighting the same Steppenwolf. But the eyes are everything to the cinematography of the scene here. Like, the battle, the background, when the minute chooses to focus on Steppenwolf and what he's talking or what he's doing, or you know, he gets hit and knocked down and he looks up, every time there's a shot on Steppenwolf, it's a great shot because of the eyes, because of the, you know, the design of all the gray, silver, orange, and then you have these two brightly electric blue eyes. It just makes it work where it's just like, oh, he looks really, really cool. And then, of course, like the spikes that are protruding out from his armor, like adds to the overall design and shape of the character, where when we fought him earlier, we would see those kind of collapse and only the spikes would show up, you know, kind of when he was expressing emotion. But here with them always out, it adds to like this kind of boss form of making him more spiky.
Yeah.
Making him look more powerful. And that's all we're trying to do is just make him look more powerful. And I guess you're right, Nate. Yeah, we don't actually see that this unity has enhanced him in any way. It hasn't really enhanced the Electro Axe. But we do get a really nice shot of the Electro Axe when he holds it. You kind of see, well, we talked about this a long time ago when we saw it once, but there's like almost like a bit of a circuitry to it on the blade itself, and it looks really, really cool. Almost like almost kind of like Terminator in the old kind of like pistons. Like,
yeah,
there's like pistons, and you know, there's the industrial kind of tone that you mentioned a while ago. Like it's here. Like that's like the industrial punk that's there.
Yeah,
it looks really cool.
The axe definitely has those like mechanics looks in it. Very dystopian kind of futuristic sci-fi, which is really cool. Yeah, that it's not just all a sleek thing, a sleek sword or a sleek axe or anything like that. I don't know, just kind of sets it aside from like a Stormbreaker or something.
I'm trying to make sure, like, it's not called steampunk, because I know steampunk is you know, it is what
cogs,
it is,
and steam and gaslight.
Yeah, but is industrial punk is what we're talking about, like, we're like the kind of like the heavy metal, is not exactly steampunk, right? Like, that's
no,
totally it's, different genre.
It's like 100 years after steampunk. Or something. I don't know how to gauge dystopian you know, their frequency of how they incorporate new technology or whatever. The advancement, you know, I don't know how to gauge. I don't know how to engage advancement from steampunk into industrial punk, but it's like, or industrial maybe punk is like the next form.
Yeah, it looks like it's called industrial steampunk, and it looks like maybe steampunk has kind of lost its way in becoming more fantastical, and we need to come back to like it being like, no, it's kind of actually a depressing scenario and not as like,
yeah,
whimsical as we think steampunk is. It's like, no, we have to return back to it being an like based from industry, railroads and pollution and stuff like that.
See, I always categorize steampunk fitting more within like a desert post-apocalyptic kind of feel, where it's like, it's not Mad Max yet, but it's not fantasy like Howl's Moving Castle or what was the other one? Immortal Engines. It's not like that advanced. It's still,
I think it's Immortal Engines might be industrials punk, right? Like that's,
it's fantasy, so I don't know. Yeah, there's a fantasy element in there, so like there's still,
I think that's what takes away from it, is the fantasy element.
Yeah,
but yeah, definitely heavy metal vibes here for Steppenwolf with the Electro Axe, of course. Looking really, really cool. Yeah, we'll see here. Aquaman, Cyborg, very in unison, literally in unison, as they will try to disrupt Steppenwolf. He'll charge at them with his Electro Axe, and then they both kind of have like this sonic cannon attack. Obviously, with the trident that we see, he can do kind of like a concussive blast. But then also Cyborg has like the sonic cannons, and he has two sonic cannons in both arms. So he'll use that, and they'll create like this incredible sonic barrier that will push back the boss who's charging at them. So this is a great first move, an opening move for this kind of choreography, and kind of thinking about like, well, how is it that they're going to fight Steppenwolf? How will we choreograph this?
And you got to zone him.
You got to zone him out. Yeah, you got to zone him out. Let's like let's disrupt him. How long can we keep that going? We don't need to necessarily kill him right away, but we can stall him enough for Barry Allen to build up the charge and disrupt this Mother Box Unity. So it's a really cool effect here. And it's also really cool. It's something that you want to see in superhero stories, which is you want to see synergy of superpowers and their abilities. We see it in the Avengers. It works out great there. It's funny that you see it here in Zack Snyder's Justice League, but you don't see it in Joss Whedon's Justice League, any synergy of power. So it's very ironic that Joss did not do that in his version.
No, didn't want anybody working together.
Yeah.
Said, no, you do this. This is your moves. And then they do that. That's their moves.
And you guys actually don't like being here with each other. So, yeah. Yeah.
You guys were all forced to be here, so you're going to fight as if you're alone, even though the tagline of this movie is you can't save the world alone. So let's just not work together.
Let's just not do it. Yeah, absolutely. So then we'll see Steppenwolf, he'll get pushed back. He'll falter. He'll kind of do he'll get up. He'll use the axe to stop his pushback. And then he looks up and he looks all angry and stuff. Just really, really beautiful moments for Steppenwolf's character. This is a character we've grown with for this movie, along with the Justice League, to understand his backstory, his origin, his motivations, and kind of like his, you know, he's obtained not only the mother boxes, but he's obtained the location of the anti-life equation. Things that will complete his journey. So we've seen this character grow a lot during this 4-hour movie. And so to finally see him here, it's like there is motivation for what he's trying to do. And to make sure that the heroes don't win, he's got to make sure that he defends this point. So it's not just like a big brute that they have to defeat and they don't know what he's capable of. We all know what he's capable of. And we know personally that he's going to try to keep this thing around. And so, you know, it's a character you kind of, I don't want to say you sympathize for, but you understand what's at stake for him. So there's now stakes for both sides. And so I think that's really, really good for storytelling, is giving your enemy stakes as well, so that you understand just how far they'll go to win this battle here.
Right.
And it's really, really well done.
Yeah. I see that. I also see at the end of the day, it is just, you know, Big Knight stalling the good guys from disarming the bomb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I kind of just, it's still... It works. It's just, you know, obviously the unity hasn't happened, but like it is happening, and it actually does happen. But you know, we got an ace in the hole, an ace up our sleeve. So it's like the job's already done. Now Steppenwolf just has to defeat the insurgency on the tower. You know.
Yeah. It is. Pretty interesting, right? Like they're both stalling. Like one has to stall for the charge, one has to stall to complete the unity.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, we're gonna fight right now, but we both are waiting for this bomb to go off.
Yeah,
a little bit. So it's kind of an interesting take for an action piece to have a clock on both characters.
Yeah,
to have this done. Very interesting.
Just like that. If you want to get to that, you got to go through me first. So now our heroes have to go through the big monster to get to the Holy Grail.
Yeah. Wonder Woman will join the fight after after Cyborg and Aquaman knock Steppenwolf back. Wonder Woman will fall in and kind of completes that Trinity look that we had in Dawn of Justice, this time with Aquaman and Cyborg behind her. And, you know, she'll say, "Shall we?" as in to start this battle. So it's a really cool moment for Wonder Woman and to have like another Trinity behind her. But yeah, I really like this. I love the kind of cracking on the floor when she lands on the point. I think it's just a really cool, you know, the way it looks. And, you know, what we have here is now like Steppenwolf, again, to kind of stall time, he'll start telling Wonder Woman, you know, just, you'll just start yapping to kind of play the mental games with her before they actually start fighting. And because they know they're both great warriors, but now's the time where you try to throw skill off by having little mental fortitude battles.
Yeah. He's just a bully, you know? He's a mean guy. Yeah, he's saying some mean things. Like, you didn't have to. And, you know, they're not all dead. All the Amazons aren't dead. You just kind of whooped their ass, and then you ran away when the bigger army came out.
If there's ever a mantra for apocalypse, it's that cruelty begets cruelty, right? So, yeah. I mean, they're just awful people to each other, creating more awful people, and Steppenwolf is just an awful person because of where he comes from, where they're just awful to each other all of the time. That's all they know how to do is be bitter and negative and, you know, anti-life, things like that. They're just like, they're just anti-life all the time.
Yeah. Anti-hope.
And so he gets into her head by saying, you know, that, you know, she left her people to go help these frail creatures. And, you know, that because she left them Mascara, there was no one to, you know, protect them from him, you know, kind of slaughtering them and getting the first mother box. I see that on an emotional level resonating with Wonder Woman. But at the same time, she would not be who she is now if she had stayed.
Right.
And so it's very important that she left. You know, we talked about that for so much with Wonder Woman, the movie, and with Dawn of Justice. But even here in the Justice League movie, if she had stayed and you know, not gotten involved with Man's World or Ares, she would have been worse off. The planet would have been worse off. And it's just, he's just, it's not true. It's just lying at this point. But it of course it's going to resonate with her.
Yeah. And also, she doesn't know the state of Themyscira because she's banished. She hasn't been back. So she's only been taking Steppenwolf at his word, because in the first encounter that they have, he said, yeah, I killed them all. She's like, yeah, no, you didn't, but you're saying some angry stuff. You're making me angry, so I'm going to hit you. So, you know, we should be led to believe that Wonder Woman believes that it was her fault that everybody in Themyscira is dead because of him. The only things, you know, the only evidence of proof that she has is, well, he has the mother box, so... And I know that the Amazons wouldn't have given that thing up without fighting to the last warrior kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah. We get a bit more of the kind of Amazon hymn as well, that's like kind of put here, the ethereal music when she lands. And so that kind of, again, resonates with this whole Amazonian, heritage, this culture that he's talking about. I think it's really nice how it ties in. Obviously, at some point people are just like, man, they play this a lot whenever she shows up, but it works better than just going straight in with the electric cello from like Tina Guo. It's like, well, we want something a little bit more calming before the action starts, but also this helps, like, she's an Amazonian warrior. We're going to talk about the Amazons, how he was there, the connection that they have. So it ties very well with what he's referring to. Everything that has happened in this movie, because we've been talking about this movie for a while. This movie's been going on for a while. And so, like, to bring it all back, it, like, keeps this emotional tether, why these characters are doing this. What is it? What is at stake for Wonder Woman as well? And so, you know, Steppenwolf, he's here now in this final form because he started. He first got to Earth, he was attacking the Amazons. Like, his first thing when he arrived was to attack them. And so now it's all led down to this. If she was there from the beginning, we would not be in this position, is what he's saying to her. But it's not true, of course. But now she feels like, damn, I have to fight this level 3 boss instead of when he was in his first form.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you'll see... it angers Diana. So Gal Gadot as Diana, she has like this angry look. She starts screaming, starts running towards him. And this is where the fight will start off in on Friday's minute.
A lot of action about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We got a different Trinity here with these three fighters as well. We got like the, you know, obviously the most heavy hitters of them all about to clash. And it not just be how we started this minute of just Aquaman and Cyborg.
Yeah, and this, again, this is not something we saw in the theatrical cut. You know, we, when we come here, I believe it's just, if I remember correctly, it's just Aquaman and Cyborg trying to get to the mother box, I believe. And then it'll be Wonder Woman, Aquaman, they'll fight, but then they'll get trapped under a rock, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think they get immobilized.
Yeah, like it cuts this part out completely. And I just now remember that Steppenwolf looks totally different in that movie. And I totally forgot about that for a moment. Wow. I just suppressed that image of what he used to look like. He kind of looked like Shinnok from Mortal Kombat. I don't know. Let me bring this up. I'm going to do that on my own time. But yeah, it's just, I totally forgot Steppenwolf looked like that.
I don't even know what you even want to call that. It's like traditional, made up traditional garbs. I'm trying to even think like what you can relate it to. Like a like Mediterranean kind of, or yeah. It's like a Persian kind of style of armor with the what do you call it? A comma? Yeah. The belt.
He did have the eyes in that version as well, right? When he's communing with the Unity, he gets the white eyes as well.
I honestly do not remember. I don't remember those kind of details of the theatrical version. Like at all.
Yeah, I'm like watching it. I'm like looking up clips again.
Of the theatrical cut? Okay.
Yeah, of the Steppenwolf. Yeah, he had the white glowing eyes. Nothing like as cool as it looks here, but it's fine. I think it's just the design of the character is just not impressive, and they didn't want the character to be impressive in any way, so it's just humanoid looking alien dude with a big goofy helmet with a lot of alien ridges to it. I totally forgot about this design. It has been a while, and I'm even looking at like the armor itself that he's wearing, and he's got like the kilt, he's got like the chainmail kilt and like these goofy comic book boots he's got on.
Yeah, I remember the boots.
But they're just so generic. If I remember correctly, there was a Build-A-Figure, right? For, I'm looking at an action figure now because it's like the best way to kind of look at the finer details, unfortunately.
I don't know if there was a Build-A-Figure of him. I feel like he just came as the Steppenwolf action figure.
Mm.
And I remember seeing people post like pictures of it on Twitter because I follow action figure posts. I remember seeing people post their Steppenwolf action figure photo and be like, yeah, I got him. I was like, what are you, I've never been excited for that. Like, I don't know. It's not a cool toy that I wanted. Just because it was, you know, the toy from the movie doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, it's you know what I think probably hinders that original version of Steppenwolf as the fact that the last movie was Ares with Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. And it almost just looks like the same stuff. Like if you were to say like all the DC villains look the same, it's like, well, you're kind of right because Ares and Steppenwolf almost look interchangeable. Not one for one or verbatim, but like, you could easily show me this image of this Steppenwolf and be like, this is Ares from Wonder Woman. And that would have, at the time, it would have been like, I believe you, that's what he's going to look like in the third act. Totally. That's what Steppenwolf looks like. But yeah, it's just, wow. It's been a while since I've seen this character design. And
put it back on the shelf and think about it in another 8 months.
Yeah, let me, I want to look at Darkseid in this DCEU, and I want to kind of compare them almost. Like, if does this Darkseid of this Zack Snyder's version, does it look like it should match this Steppenwolf?
Well, I remember talking about that before. It's like there's, he's like a different species of Apocalypton or something. So no, it doesn't necessarily match, but we don't really have references of, I mean, because even look at Granny Goodness, she's humanoid. You know?
Yeah, Furies, you're right.
They're usually humanoid-esque as well. Big Barda is a human.
Mm-hmm.
Is the,
yeah.
It's kind of like an Amazon. But yeah, no. There's no coherent function in anything other than, like, Jack Kirby's vision of what Apocalypse looked like. You know, people had, most of the time it was all just like humanoids, and they, you know, had elegant things like Steppenwolf's giant crown or horns or whatever he had, you know, big hat. And Darkseid was a worm tongue, so he was just, you know, cloaked Merlin. Who did I say? Oh, Desaad. Sorry. Desaad was cloaked Merlin. Darkseid was just, you know, king.
Desaad so, and Steppenwolf, the Zack Snyder Steppenwolf, they look like they match. And Darkseid, I think with the skin texture that they've given him, he matches the Zack Snyder Steppenwolf. But I was thinking more of the clothing. I almost wonder, because there's the armor that he's wearing, you can almost wonder if they took Darkseid's armor and put it on the other Steppenwolf for the Justice League movie and thought, like, we'll reuse the asset and totally turn it around.
So you think, like the kilt and the chainmail was supposed to be Darkseid?
I think really it's just like the shoulder piece.
Mm.
I'm like looking at it back and forth, and there's like this kind of scaly ridge thing that they put around him. No, it's still just, he still just looks like a weird Mortal Kombat character.
That's what it is. It's just Mortal Kombat, or maybe Mortal Kombat, we're like, hey, we're gonna take some of those ideas.
Yeah.
Because it looks, you still got like whatever, it still looks traditional, Eastern, I guess. So yeah, there's those elements that are very apparent in those character models.
If you ever look up Shinnok from Mortal Kombat, especially like Mortal Kombat X, that's exactly what Steppenwolf looks like in the Justice League movie. He looks totally like the same character almost.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there is like a final boss version of Shinnok.
Oh my gosh. It's the same horns.
Yeah. If you look at the final boss version of Shinnok in that, then he looks like the Zack Snyder Steppenwolf.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at like, you can't see it. It's like a, someone, it's a DeviantArt of someone like drew the three forms of Shinnok. And yeah, the original is very Kieran Hines, Justice League. And then there's like the clergyman Shinnok, which still could be a Desaad, but also he's got the big hat like Kirby Steppenwolf does.
Yeah, yep.
And then he turns into his demon form.
And then the demon form, yeah. Which just looks like the Zack Snyder one. Yeah. Very cool. Very interesting. That's a character. I wonder with, you know, because Mortal Kombat has a film franchise planned now. There's one movie out. They're filming the second one. It's a character I wonder if they'll ever bring in Shinnok, because he's quite the important character as far as, like, you know, the mythology of Mortal Kombat. and him kind of being one of the elder gods, it's like, well, I wonder if they'll bring that character, because at some point someone might just say, is that Steppenwolf from Justice League? Yeah, so very, very interesting.
There's definitely some crossover between those two characters. Is their story similar?
No, because Shinnok would actually be more like... Now, he's like an elder god, so he's like, he's even...
So he's more like Ares.
Yeah. Yeah, he's more like Ares. Yeah, totally more like Ares. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. There's your kind of bleed over. If he's like an older god, then you got Steppenwolf being a new god.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or definitely new god more adjacent. He would be, Shinnok is scarier even than like Shao Kahn, right? So he's like, Shao Kahn is like their dark side. And it's like, no, Shinnok is even more terrifying if he got what he wanted. So.
All right, well, we're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover the show as well. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can find us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like bonus content, we have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you here next time on DC Cinematic Minute.